Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. £75. That might not sound like a lot to you, or to a carpenter, or a stonemason, or a farmer, or someone else who works with their hands. But it was for him. He wasn't a laborer. Nicodemus was a scholar. He worked inside with books, with his mind. So £75 was tough for him. But how could he not? How could he not bring those 75 pounds of spices to bury the man who 3 years before had set him on this path when they met that night? On the path to understand the scriptures and faith and God in such a new way. Nicodemus was a teacher of Israel. He thought he knew. He thought he knew the scriptures. This man showed him how much he did not know. 75 pounds. That's how heavy his heart felt now, and even heavier as he and Joseph carefully took down the body of Jesus from the cross. It reminded him of the weight he felt that night in talking with Jesus. The words so strange, and yet so wise, and so different than anything else he had heard before. Words that now he would never get to hear again, he thought. Words that had been silenced, partly at least, by the efforts of his fellow Pharisees. So many times he had been there and listened as they plotted and planned, and they asked Jesus questions to trap him or to get him to say something to accuse him with. But every time, he knew just what to say. When they asked him about the Sabbath, when they asked him about the traditions of the elders, when they asked him about paying taxes to Caesar. But every time, he did, well, what he did to Nicodemus that night, spoke words as if directly from God. And now, Nicodemus had done it. Exactly what Jesus told him to do 3 years ago. He looked at the Son of Man lifted up on the cross. He didn't understand what that meant before when Jesus spoke that to him. But now he did. He felt like Israel must have felt like in the wilderness. Yes, wilderness, that described him now. He was still a Pharisee, but he wasn't one of them. He didn't fit anymore. Did he believe? Was he a disciple? Jesus was the one who had died, but he felt like he was dying. It was all so confusing. Like it had been that night. He sat down with Jesus ready for a good scholarly session, the kind he so enjoyed. He knew Jesus would be good for that, for they knew that he was a teacher come from God. For no one could do the signs that he did unless God is with him. But instead of a good scholarly back and forth, a meeting of the minds, an interesting tête-à-tête, Jesus had taken over, put him on his heels right from the get-go. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. What an odd phrase. Almost an oxymoron, but not quite, but almost. Because there is birth and there is death. There is no again. You're born once and you die once. This was a most unusual way to begin their conversation, but okay, Jesus, I'll play along. I'll go with it, Nicodemus remembered thinking. What do you mean, Jesus? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Can't you hear how absurd that sounds, Jesus? He thought it was a pretty good response. But Jesus, instead of answering his question, doubled down. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Truly, truly. He said it again. He was saying that this is the absolute truth that is above and beyond debate. But debate it was exactly what they had done. Nicodemus and his fellow Pharisees, when John started baptizing and all the people were going out to him and listening to him and being baptized by him, they objected. What authority do you have to do this? Where did you come from? They had gone out and confronted John with these questions, but now Jesus is talking in the same way. Talking about water and the Spirit. Is he saying that we should have listened to John? Is he saying that we should have been baptized by John? Is that what this new birth by water and the Spirit is? If so, this would turn Nicodemus' world upside down. Born again was completely different than born once and then do everything you can to enter the kingdom of God. Live by God's word and learn it, fast and tithe, follow all the laws and the traditions of the elders, give alms, pray. That was the way, and he was good at it. That was the way to the kingdom of God, wasn't it? He thought he knew. But Jesus was saying something completely different. That just as we are born of the flesh, that's not enough. We must also be born of the Spirit. But how can that be? Really, how can that be? Nicodemus really wanted to know. Now Jesus was dead. Born once, die once, and now they would lay him in the tomb once. Would Jesus be there? Was Jesus there in the kingdom of God he spoke about? If only he had more time. Another chance to sit with Jesus, talk with him, learn from him. Or did Jesus tell him enough? Now as he stood at the cross looking up, not at a bronze serpent, but a dead rabbi. The Romans and the chief priests called him a criminal, but Nicodemus wouldn't. It was as if his words had now come true. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes, not works. Whoever believes, therefore, must be this born again. Whoever believes and is baptized, water and the Spirit, spiritual life, life in the Spirit. That's what was said of Abraham in the Old Testament. That Abraham wasn't justified by works. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham had been an idolater in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans, but God chose him, called him, and gave him a new life. Abraham hadn't done anything. He had been born again. It was all God's work for him. And all the families of the earth would be blessed through him in the same way, it said. By faith. By believing. And then hadn't David later said, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." That's how Abraham was blessed and his offspring blessed. A new birth to a new life. That night had been so confusing, but now somehow it seemed as if everything was coming together. All the Old Testament prophecies, all the words of Jesus, all the things he had done that they had opposed. He knew better than Nicodemus. He knew better than all of them. It was as if he knew this day was coming. This is why he came, to die, that Nicodemus might live. That Nicodemus might be born again. Truly, truly, I now say to you, that's exactly why Jesus came. To be lifted up so that all the world could see him there. So that all the world could look to him and believe. For God so loved the world, he did this. He sent his son to die. He sent his son to save. He sent his son to give new birth to you. The new birth of holy baptism. The new birth by water and the Spirit. That you who have been bitten by Satan live. That you who are hopeless have hope. That you who are dying have the hope, and more than the hope, the promise of everlasting life. A new life to live. And even now. But you know all that, right? You've been catechized like those who will be confirmed next Sunday. You're not confused like Nicodemus, right? But what do you do when life intrudes? When sickness, trouble, or the fear of death intrudes? Or when the good things God gives you begin to take over your life and so become not so good? What do you do when the burdens you are carrying feel like 75 pounds or more on your heart and feel too heavy to bear? What then? Well, how often, like Nicodemus, we turn to our own strength or do things the world's way or even think that God is against me. that he has turned his back on me, is punishing me for my sins and what I have done, so I better clean up my act and do the right things so that God will bless me again. Pray more, give more, do more. Those aren't bad things. But you can hear a little Nicodemus in you, can't you? The Pharisees weren't bad guys. They did lots of good things. Just for the wrong reasons. That night, Jesus pointed Nicodemus outside himself and what he did to what only God could do and did do for him. And we need the same. No matter what we know or how much we know, we constantly need to be taught and to be pointed outside ourselves. For the devil and the world and your sinful nature keep trying to take your eyes off of Jesus and off of him lifted up on the cross for you. And when we do, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, that's when the fear and the confusion and the anxiety and the heaviness and the doubts come. How can I climb back into my mother and be born again? Nicodemus wondered. How can I do what God has asked me to do? We wonder. Nicodemus couldn't. And neither can we. But Jesus can. And did. For us, yes, by nature, we're born once and we die once, and so do everything we can until it's all over. But by grace, there is more. By grace, we are born again, born from above, born of water and the Spirit. By grace, Jesus reverses the order. So that first we die once, here and now in the waters of holy baptism, and then are risen to life, but not just to live once, but to live forever. And by grace we are joined to Jesus in his resurrection to that life that cannot end. And that changes things. It changes our view of sickness and trouble and the fear of death. It changes how we look at the things of this world. For as good as they may be, they are passing away. But we're not. There's more for us, more than this. And if all this is taken away from us, and one day it will be, then we will be lifted up. Lifted up from death to life, from sadness to joy, from struggle to rest, from time to eternity. In Jesus, who took that incalculable weight of sin from each of us to unburden us and set us free. That's why our gradual, this Lenten season, keeps telling us to do what Jesus told Nicodemus to do. To fix our eyes on Jesus. On the Son of God, lifted up on the cross. For that is the answer to our sin, our fear, our death. That if God would do that for us, if God would sacrifice his only begotten Son for me, what's greater than that? So that changes everything. And it seems to have changed Nicodemus. From the beginning of John's gospel, coming to Jesus at night, to the end of John's gospel, bringing those 75 pounds of spices to bury him. And it has changed you too. We may not always live like it. We may sometimes forget. Our sin may at times get the better of us. But that doesn't change that. The Jesus lifted up for you. The Jesus by whom you are born again and raised to a new life. The Jesus who forgives you and the Jesus who now feeds you with his body and blood. Fix your eyes and your faith on him here. And then you will fix your eyes on him there. In that life that has no end. And that 75 pounds that is so heavy for you, here's someone to carry it for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.